Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Time for the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesday and Saturday morning, so if you missed yesterday, swing on over there, check it out. It's hanging out right there at the top of the page for you. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you got to hit that link and swing on over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, yeah, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan. Well, let's knock the wonderful football stuff out of the way to get started, because it is Thursday night, and I know we're running out of Thursday night games. I don't know if this is the last one or if there's one next week. I forgot how many Thursday nights they actually do. But tonight we have I don't know if they're your guys anymore since they benched Blake Bortles, but we have the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Tennessee Titans. Doesn't sound like the most exciting game, and it's basically, you think it's two teams that I haven't picked right all year, but I did decide to pick the Titans tonight in this game. Dan, who did you go with?
I think the Titans, I don't remember.
Well, I can tell you that you would be wrong, because you put Jacksonville down in the on the pick sheet when I went in to put everything in. You will also be surprised to know that I have not heard from Mr. Fantasy. I know that's shocking, so I do not know who he's picking. Again, last week I never heard from him, so he took the big L, even though I know he would have taken New Orleans anyways. This week I don't know what the hell he was going to do. And, you know, this is one of those games I figured no matter which team I picked, they were going to lose, because – I don't know when Jacksonville defense decided to wake up, but they actually pitched a shutout last week, and Tennessee is easily the most confusing team in the NFL. You know, they've, you know, beat like the Patriots and a couple other quality teams, and then I think I can't remember who they just blew a game to that they should have won. It's all, the NFL season is all kind of a blur, and I'm just disappointed in it anyway, so you know how that goes. So we'll see, but that's your huge Thursday night matchup. Oh, I can also tell you that Stu, of course, getting his picks in, he did take the Titans as well. So right now him and I are on one side and you're on the other, and we'll have to see if Mr. Fantasy joins you. But I'm going to guess I'm not going to get that pick and or a lineup for tonight before the game starts. Of course, that means he'll probably win, you know, thousands of dollars on FanDuel while you and I sit here twiddling our thumbs waiting for a lineup. So,
pretty much.
Yeah. But I had some. Well, I don't know if you'd call this exciting news for you, being the Cub fan that you are. And I'm wondering if you caught this article. Apparently, your guy Brandon Morrow underwent elbow surgery on November 6th, and it looked like there's a really good. Oh, am I back? Yay. That hasn't happened in a little bit. I think a couple weeks ago it happened to me on a Sunday, so I had to go away for a little while. But I don't even know how much of what I was saying did you hear?
I just heard he underwent surgery.
Yes, and it's supposed to keep him out till after opening day. It said it was a debridement arthroscopic surgery, which I know plenty about, to clean up some cartilage. So how high up the list does reliever move on the Cubs' needs now?
How long is he out for?
It doesn't say. It just says, and the interesting thing is it just says that it could keep him on the shelf past opening day. So, like, they don't even have a timetable for his return yet. I find it interesting that they waited until November to do the surgery when, you know, I mean, we knew he was going to be out for the year basically back in, what was it, July or August. I don't know why they waited.
You know, maybe they have a good insurance on his contract, knowing that he was injury prone.
Yeah, I hope so. So we'll see. You know, but yeah, like I was saying, how far up the, you know, the list there does good reliever go now instead of just maybe filling in with some back end guys? Do they have to go out and look for you know, an actual closer? Or are you happy with Carl Edwards Jr. handling the job?
No, they need to go out. Is Fernando Rodney still available?
You know, I don't know. Did he sign somewhere yet? I'm not quite sure, but, you know. You know, and this was the case when they signed Morrow. You know, it was kind of like, well, you know, he's got a, you know, got a history of this. And the, you know, I think the part that really makes it worse is when he pitched last year, he was really good. You know, he ended up with a 1.47 ERA in the 30 games he appeared in. He picked up 22 saves. So, he was fantastic for them, but, you know, like just about every Brandon Morrow season except 2017 with the World Series, you know, when he went to the World Series with the Dodgers, he's hurt.
You know, when he does come back midsummer, and the season's over, do you think it's just in their best interest to pay the $3 million and buy him out?
Well, you know, maybe they'll get lucky and find a contender that wants to put him in as a setup guy and they can ship him off or something. You know, maybe the Dodgers will take him back since he had so much success there as a reliever when he was there. But, you know, like I know Pedro Strop had a really good year filling in for the Cubs last year, but I don't think they can go that route, do you?
I don't think they have a choice.
You know, and I know Steve Cishek can do a little closing, but, you know, I mean, these are two guys I don't want to see either of these two guys as a regular closer. I mean, there's got to be some, you know what I mean? I'm not saying they got to go out and pay Craig Kimbrell's asking price, because I know he's really looking for a big time payday. But you know, there are other guys out there. I mean, Andrew Miller's out there. I know David Robertson is out there. You know, you could probably get one of these guys on a shorter deal. Even Cody Allen. You know, do you think they got to take a look and just be kind of like, hey, let's bring one of these guys in?
I don't think they really have a choice.
You know, I don't see Fernando Rodney on this list, so I'm wondering if he already signed with somebody. I'll have to bing his name here real quick and see if they if he's picked up a new deal, because I thought he was a free agent. Oh, no, the A's actually exercised their option on him to keep him. So he's going to stay with Oakland next year, Dan.
Now, what about that reliever the White Sox picked up?
Colome?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, he's, you know, he's got closing, you know, closing experience. You know, I know, I forgot to mention, you know, I know Zach Britton is out there on the market if you want to go grab him, or the other lefty, Andrew Miller. You know, maybe a guy like Miller, if you can get him on a short deal, would be a good, you know, a good pickup for him. But I definitely think they need something. I mean, if they roll in with just what they have, it might be a, you know, they might put themselves in too big of a hole for to start the season with, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I did get a chuckle while we're on the Cubs. I finally got the Schomburg Stew email after the Goldschmidt signing, and now the Cardinals are the best team in the NL Central. So, you know, I guess, is that just how it goes with Cub fans?
Well, yeah, you got to throw in the towel or wave the white flag as quickly as you can.
You know, I mean, obviously, you know, Goldschmidt improves the Cardinals very much. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But, you know, you and I were talking about their pitching yesterday. I mean, we, you know, they need help definitely there. So I'm not quite ready to concede the division to them, are you?
No, not at all.
No. You know, yeah, I just kind of thought it was humorous when I, you know, when I got that, I was like, oh boy, here we go. So, I can just imagine. But, you know, we didn't have any, you know, big signings or trades or anything today. Well, I guess depending on how you look at it, I didn't look at it as a big a signing as everybody else did. But the Red Sox are bringing Nathan Eovaldi back. Dan, he did so well in the playoffs this year. He got 4 years and $67.5 million. So can you believe that's where they ended up?
No, here it's a 68. But...
Well, you know, that's right there. So
not a bad deal for a year.
Yeah, his career numbers, Dan, in his seven seasons, he's 44-53 with a 4.16 ERA. He's had 1 year when he's won more than 10 games. That was in 2014 when he went 14-3 with the Yankees. And even that year, he had a 4.20 ERA. So, and, you know, and I get that, you know, he was the guy in the playoffs this year. I mean, you know, he ended up pitching in six games. He made two starts. Ended up going 22 1/3 innings, 2-1 with a 1.61 ERA. So I mean, he's really making money off of that. But can you count on him to be that playoff guy, Dan? Or was that just kind of a weird, you know, circumstance?
I mean, how do you pitch him in the regular season? Because, you know, he did only 21 starts and 111 innings with Boston.
Well, yeah, well, you know, and oddly, that's been a little bit of a question. I actually heard somebody suggest today that they use him as their closer. Could you...
Somebody have a closer?
No, they're, you know, relief-wise, Boston is actually a little thin. You know, Kimbrel's on the free agent market right now, and so's Joe Kelly. You know, and the only other guy to, you know, the only other couple guys to record saves were Stephen Wright got a save for them, and Marcus Walden got a save for them, and I'm assuming Walden won't make the team, but Wright got it by pitching more than, what was it, three innings, I think, qualify. So he picked up his that save that way, so it wasn't like a closing situation. I don't know. I mean, do you try to transfer a guy who's had arm problems like Evaldi into a closer, or do you just stick with him in the rotation and try to fix your closing situation another way?
You're welcome. You know, can you really work there?
Well, you know, I mean, the way I look at this, he's very similar to Brandon Morrow, you know, except he's younger, obviously. You know, Evaldi's only 28. I'm not quite sure when he's going to turn 29. He'll be 29 in February, so before the season starts. But, you know, you're looking at a guy who's only made 30 starts in a season one time. So can you really plug him in as a closer where he might have to make 60 appearances? Can he – do you think he could handle that?
You know, maybe it's the innings usage, but you know, because like you said, in 2014 in Miami, 33 starts, but just under 200 innings.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, because you've got to figure, you know, just looking at his history, he's got at least one trip to the DL during the season, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I just don't know if, you know, it would be the best thing to be like, hey, here you go. We're going to put you in this closer situation where you may have to pitch 3 days in a row. You know, and I know in the playoffs he sucked it up and did a really nice job for them. But, again, that was the playoffs. And, you know, guys are known to do that. I mean, we saw, you know, since it's local here, we saw Aroldis Chapman pitch in just about every playoff game the Cubs had that year, right?
Pretty much in almost every inning.
So, you know, just kind of how those things go come playoff time. You know, guys aren't going to do that in the regular season. So, you know, and I know, it looks like Kimbrel, who is, what do they have him here? Is he 30 years old, I thought I saw? He's 30 or 31. He's talking about wanting 5 years. You know what I mean? I know he's one of the better closers in the game, Dan, but can you go 5 years on a guy like that?
No, I mean, it's tricky, but I'm sure someone will. 4 years was an option.
So, yeah, that just, you know, that would be kind of frightening for me. You know, and then oddly, the other two signings look like they were both made by the Minnesota Twins. They inked a couple of infielders, both guys who were non-tendered. It's being reported they got Jonathan Scope to come in for 1 year at $7.5 million. And then I saw they had landed Ronald Torres.
Yeah, right underneath. Well.
Yeah, but it looks like I can't find the article now on our favorite website. It looks like it's gone. So, I don't know if that was something they took back or how it worked out, but you know, I like Scope. I know he had a bad year with Milwaukee, but I was really surprised they kind of non-tendered him, because while, you know, again, he scuffled with the Brewers and, you know, even with the Orioles, but, you know, the year before that he had he had 32 bombs, drove in 105 and hit .293 for, you know, the Orioles. And so maybe it was just a down year, or what? I mean, what do you think they decided to go away from him for?
Maybe he just didn't fit in Miami for whatever reason.
He didn't fit the Brewer way of life.
Yeah, I guess he didn't drink enough brews.
So, but yeah, you know, so that actually I thought was a really, really good signing by the Twins. We'll have to see if, you know, he can bounce back. And obviously they needed a second baseman with, they traded off Dozier last year to the Dodgers. So they need obviously somebody to pick up the spot there. I would assume, you know, if they did sign Correa, then again, I don't know why the article disappeared. So I'm just kind of binging around here to see if I can find it. He would fill in as a guy.
Yeah, well, I sit on the contract every day, all day, checking players' contracts. And they have him signed for 1 year at $800 million.
$800,000, I hope.
Sorry. Yeah. I don't really know how his stuff works. This is a year one of arbitration. So I'm assuming or negotiating the CBA and all that he will continue on to arbitration years two and three next year. So, you know, I think it's a good move for them because they're picking up a kid that, you know, it's controllable for at least 3 years and can sit behind scope. And if he works out, plays pretty well, and they're able to, you know, they can give them a better decision on what they want to do with scope for 2020. You know, I think wherever the team is.
Terrence is a really valuable utility guy. That's why I was surprised when the Cubs non-tendered him. I mean, maybe they non-tendered him in the hope of trying to get him back, and it just didn't work out. But
they have 30 second basemen, so I don't know what the move was made for anyway. But when it comes to scope in Minnesota, if he plays the entire season, they'll get an extra $50,000 for 500 plate appearances. If he gets a Gold Glove or an All-Star, another $25,000 and $100,000 for the MVP place. So, you know, so on and so forth. And then if the World Series LCS MVP, somehow, some way they make it, he'll get $50,000. And then here's another incentive, $50,000 for Comeback Player of the Year. So I'm going to have to throw that one in my back pocket. Maybe I'll throw him in there.
Yeah. I might have to work that out. So yeah, and then the other signing, I think this was official today. I actually saw this a couple days ago. The Astros inked Robinson Chirinos. The Texas, well, he was the Texas catcher. It doesn't look like I see the salary here on MLB rumors. But he'll probably split time with Chris Stassi because, Brian McCann signed with the Braves and Evan Gattis and Martín Maldonado are free agents. So I'm guessing neither one of those two will be back, and they're going to go with the tandem of Chirinos and Stassi. And, Chirinos should be a good fit for that ballpark. He's got good power, and that's a home run hitter's, kind of dream. So it looks like obviously he'll hit 220 or whatever, but, I won't be surprised if he hits 25 or 30 home runs if he gets enough at bats. So, it looks like it's a good signing. And, he's always been a solid defender. So we'll have to see how that shakes out. But, yeah, not much else, in baseball. A little slower than the last few days and – I guess it's just one of those things, right?
Yeah, but you did miss that Carlos Carrasco got a four-year extension.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. I kind of spaced that off. Was it an actual extension, or did they just pick up his options? That's what I was trying to figure out.
It looks like they picked up his options, but they gave him much more money. Oh, no, they picked up his options and then extended it through 2023. which they have the vesting option for a $3 million buyout. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, because, you know, that's been weird because, you know, the Indians have been talking about dumping salary, and they were able to move Yan Gomes. I think that was $10 or $11 million they got off the book. So I guess now that means it's Kluber or your guy Trevor Bauer that get dealt?
Quite possibly.
So, you know, I mean, you got to think, if you're a contender, aren't you kind of lining up to get a hold of Corey Kluber?
Yeah. I mean, I was just trying to think of who would be going after him. Would that be a guy the Red Sox are looking at?
No, Dan, you know where he's going. He's going to the Yankees. Everybody's going to the Yankees.
Course,
oh. So... but, yeah, you know, in all fairness, I think the Yankees have to need one more starter, but I don't know if Kluber – I thought they were looking for a lefty, so I don't know if Kluber's on their radar. But, yeah, you know, there are some interesting openings. You know, the Astros could probably use one more starter, you know, with their guys hitting free agency. It doesn't look like they're bringing Keuchel or Morton back, and McCullers is out for the year. So they could probably use a guy. That could be really interesting there.
Yeah, well, and it looks like to me with the extension of Carrasco, you know, like I said, like you mentioned, he had the two options for this year and next year. And then they added 21 through 23 with an option, obviously, for 2023. So to me it looks like, you know, like you said, they're looking to drop cash, but – you know, next year goes up to 10 and a quarter, and then it's 12, and then 2023 will be $14 million at 36 years old, though. So I would assume that if he's stuck with the Indians by then, they'll pay that $3 million to buy him out. But, I mean, if he does well, you know, the last 2 years, he almost did 200 innings, struck out over, or was it, he's had over 200 strikeouts in the last 2 years. Not to mention in 2015 also, you know, 2016 was down with only 25 starts and 150 strikeouts, but, you know, his ERA has been kind of mid-threes consistently for the last 4 years. With those numbers, does that, you know, kind of make it seem like to you he's going up 32 years old this year? Yeah, depending on how this season goes and who's looking for what, that
yeah, you know, with the numbers on that contract, I mean, that's a very tradable deal. I mean, when you look starting for just that kind of money, it's, you know, that's low for a guy who's really a top of the rotation starter. So, yeah, he could, you know, and especially with all the years you would have him for, I mean, you're looking at, you know, say he's traded at the trade deadline this year or even after this year, you've got 3 to 3.5 years of him at real good money. I mean, 12 to 14 million is nothing for a quality starting pitcher in today's game. You know, as weird as that sounds to say. So, yeah, that, you know, maybe – that's something they look at, and I don't think there's a no-trade clause in his deal, was there? Did you see any?
As far as I can see, there wasn't. And then, you know, SpotTrack, again, they added new things, market value. And the four comps against him are Scherzer, Arrieta, Strasburg, and Price. And, I mean, when you look at the value of his contract, it's obviously the price isn't as high. But when you look at the numbers, the average of those four, he pretty much is right in line with them. You know, when it comes to game started, any pitch, strikeout per game, ERA and whip, he pretty much is on the same par as all these guys. So, you know, I would let this season play out and continue to give him his innings and his starts. And, you know, who knows if he'll be on a new team by you know, by the trade deadline, or if you run out the season and they, you know, compete a little bit, because obviously American League Central is pretty much open to the Indians and the Twins. Maybe the Tigers make another run for it for just for fun, but you know, they're still going to be kind of into it. World Series on, I don't think.
Yeah, you know, they're so weird with their, you know, I mean, you look at the Indians and they're a good team, but with the exception of the, you know, the 1 year, a couple of years ago, they got there with the Cubs. They haven't really done much playoff wise, and I don't know, you know, just the competition level, or you know, if it's something else. But I did actually. Oh, okay. It wasn't what I thought it was. That would have been ridiculous if I had if I had saw that. You know, I know we were talking a little bit a couple days ago about the Patrick Corbin signing, and there was some deferred money in that contract. And when I was going through some of the Nationals' contracts, who they still owed deferred money to, I saw the last name of Soriano, and I thought maybe they were still paying Alfonso. But it turns out they're actually still paying Rafael Soriano, not Alfonso Soriano. So it is a Soriano getting $2 million from them. But yeah, him and Joe Blanton are still on the Nationals payroll. So
yeah, good for Joe Blanton.
Yeah, you know, it's always smart to defer a little of that money, you know, just in case you. You know, nothing like picking up, you know, $2 million here or there, how it works out. But yeah, I was a little disappointed to find out that it wasn't Alfonso when I pulled it up. I was like, ah, that would have been so much more humorous. Oh, but what can you do, right? Well, it just makes everybody sad, or at least me. I don't know what else is going on, Dan. Some big NBA news I missed, or what did I not find that's out there?
I mean, LeBron did posterize somebody, but
well, that was nice of him.
Thank you. Yeah, not a whole lot going on.
So yeah, just one of the slower days, I guess. You know, are you? I guess, you know, while I mentioned basketball, are you a little surprised that your guy Carmelo hasn't found a new home yet?
Sadly, no. I mean, he kind of walked himself out of the league.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? Obviously, to be fair to him, it definitely wasn't his fault that the Rockets were bad, because they've still been bad, and he's been gone for a while. So, you know, you can't blame him for that fiasco.
Well, you know, what sucks about them is I felt like when we discussed what they made this offseason, that they would be a team challenging the Warriors. And now it looks like we should give it to the Warriors again.
Yeah, well, you would have thought after, you know, because there were a lot of people who were saying that, you know, if Chris Paul didn't get hurt, that the Rockets win that series. And, you know, they're you know, going against LeBron in the finals. So, you know, that would have been an entirely different, you know, different scenario there. I caught something here that said the Rockets want to make this trade this week, but I don't put it. Anything of any, yeah, it doesn't look like it's any, like, name guys that we know or actually absolutely have on our rosters, right? You don't have Marquise Chris on your roster or Gary Clark or anybody hiding somewhere?
No.
Yeah. So I think we're safe there, but you know, I think they're 11-10 now or something. So they are, you know, they seem to be doing a little better. And I mean, you got to figure in the end they're a playoff team, right?
The Rockets.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they should be. But will they be?
You know, I mean, even as tough as the West is, I'm kind of figuring they're going to get it together, and you know, they just seem like too good of a team to play this poorly all year, don't they? I mean, obviously, you know, we don't get to see a lot of them, but just kind of looking at their roster, I mean, you know, Harden and Paul are both top players in the league, and you know, I know everybody was saying they were going to miss some of the guys they moved last year, but I don't know. Maybe they'll just have this problem all year. I mean, in reality, they're only one game out of the eighth spot. I know it's too early to worry about that kind of stuff, but,
yeah.
You know, they've been really bad, and the Spurs have been really bad as well. So, you know, a couple of teams I think people thought were going to be better than what they are, sub 500 and kind of hanging around. I'd love to know how many people had the Nuggets as the best team in the Western Conference right now. So, but sadly, in the end, it's probably still the Warriors, right? When it comes down to it.
Yeah, but I think they've proven that they have a lot to win in the conference. All they've got to do is just get into the postseason, because you know your matchups, if they can swing, and that's all that matters. They'll get their runs.
Yeah, you know, I guess, like you said, all you got to do is be in. You know, once you get in, you're good as good. Guess you got a good chance to anybody. No. But now, did you see or are you buying any of the – I don't even know if you could call it a beef. I guess Kevin Durant made some comments about how superstars don't want to play with LeBron James because it's a toxic environment. And when they asked James about it yesterday after his game, he just basically said no comment. Are you buying beef there? I never even really know what to call it with these guys.
Beef between the two? Or?
Yeah, I guess it would be the two. Or I guess in reality it could be the two teams.
No, I mean, I wouldn't call it games. Kevin Durant speaking his mind. And, you know, is there any truth behind what he said? Well, ask Kyrie Irving.
Or Kevin. Oh.
Yeah. Well, both are Kyrie.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, I guess it, you know, it's got to be tough to be a you know, a star player with LeBron, because obviously he's, you know, going to go down as one of, if not the best players to ever play the game. So, yeah.
But I don't think that's the issue. I think it's the off-court stuff, trying to run the team. I mean, just the other day I saw an article pop up that I didn't read that, you know, oh, LeBron had told the Cavaliers that they should have traded for blah, blah, blah. Or whatever. I'm like, he's not even there anymore, so what does it matter? But, you know, if you're on that team, you know, and you're a star, I mean, like I said, look at Kyrie. You're in the back of your mind, you always kind of wonder, can you trust him? So maybe that's what he means by toxic environment. I mean, I know there are 30-plus teams or 32 or whatever, and they're not all buddies and they're not all friends, even though they shake hands and, you know, do all the hugging before and after every game. But at the end of the day, it's still kind of a small, quote-unquote, fraternity. today, you know, a lot of the good ones that play together, they come up together, whether it's, you know, pre-college or in college. So, they, you know, they all get around with each other. So they all know each other at the end of the day, whether they like each other or not. So especially when you get to the upper echelon with grand status, you know, guys kind of in that same boat. And when you take the league as a whole and then you minimize it to just those guys, the quote-unquote stars, I think he might have a little insight. And there might be a little
Is it the NBA itself who has limited it to just those stars?
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, like you and I have talked about it for a while now, that when you see, like, advertising, it's very focused on teams and players. Mm-hmm. You know, they target certain guys and, you know, that kind of thing, whereas a lot of the other league, you know, I mean, we talked about the issue where baseball was complaining they were having with Mike Trout. You know, I mean, obviously, if he was an NBA player, he'd be in every commercial.
Yeah, but you're throwing out because you're pushing with for another start.
You broke up a little there. I didn't hear your response.
Oh, I think you're throwing me off because you're questioning if it's toxic to play with.
Yeah, I mean, who knows how it was meant. I mean, I guess he said it on, I think he might have actually been on a podcast. I think he was on the Bleacher Report podcast or something like that. But I don't know. I mean, like you mentioned Kyrie, I mentioned Kevin Love. Remember, everything that happened in Cleveland was basically Kevin Love's fault, even when he was hurt. You know, if they didn't win, it was Kevin Love's fault. You know, if something went wrong, it was Kevin Love's fault. So, I don't know. I guess that's fantastic, right?
It was his fault, too.
So, I guess Durant may have meant is it's everybody's fault but LeBron's, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you know, and therein lies kind of the, I think the point he was trying to make was, you know, if I'm a star looking at it and the rumors and all that good stuff, you know, he's trying to make boardroom decisions, front office decisions for the team. You know, so if you're another star coming to that team, do you want to sign long term with LeBron playing there? Because, you know, maybe after you guys have an argument or a bad week and he's in the office trying to get you traded.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, there was a little, you know, confrontation at the beginning of the year, kind of with Luke Walton situation, you know, and I know, Magic stepped in and kind of put the fire out really quickly. And I find it interesting to know how it'll go here because, you know, while I think LeBron is always going to have input, he's not going to have the kind of input here that he didn't click with, is he?
I don't think so, but at the same point, you know, it's hard to say because Luke Walton played for the Lakers, so I don't know what kind of connection he has with Magic or, you know, what Magic's feelings were when Luke Walton was there. And, you know, of course, for me, not being a huge Laker fan and a huge NBA guy, when it comes to the great Laker team, you know, Luke Walton doesn't specifically jump out to me. But, you know, at the same token, right now LeBron's the big star, the big draw for Los Angeles. So, you know, with the fact that they're in a kind of a rebuilding, you kind of want to keep that guy happy, don't you?
Yeah, well, you know, I could see possibly, you know, maybe making a coaching change, you know, and LeBron having a little bit of input on that, or possibly being the guy who gets Luke Walton out the door. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But, I mean, when he starts talking personnel, I mean, he's going to go up against, again, a guy who's possibly, you know, a lot of people think is the greatest Laker of all time. You know, how's Magic going to handle that?
Yeah, well, you've got to wonder, maybe LeBron knows that he's in a situation where he doesn't have to kind of take that role. Or, I mean, let's be honest, you know, once LeBron went to Miami and came back, and now that he's gone again, do you think it was that hard for him? Obviously, it wasn't that hard for him to influence whatever David, whatever, for Cleveland. Because, I mean, I think it's painfully obvious. He doesn't really know what he's doing. And at the same token, if Luke Walton is gone, are you really the guy that you want to take the recommendation from LeBron? Because as quickly as that recommendation will come, a couple of bad plays in the playoffs, and LeBron has completely 180'd you, like he did to Lou.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, some of it, of course, it's all speculation, but we watched it on the court. We watched it live. So it's hard to say. It's hard to disagree with what I'm saying, because, I mean, we all know that he was the one who put in to get Tyronn Lue onto that coaching staff, and coaching the team was all behind it. But when that failed performance was it last year, I mean, we've seen the frustration in his face. We've seen, hey, you know, these cameras are great, this HD quality. I mean, you've got the TV, you know, too. This stuff is great. You can't hide anything anymore. Except you can hide it from the refs, because apparently they don't pay attention when the mic's in their ear and they're told not to. That's a whole other topic. But, I mean, we physically watched him basically turn on Lou. So, you know, call it what you want. If I'm a coach, manager, looking for a job, and LeBron thinks I'm the next up for Los Angeles Lakers, I might stick with whatever team I'm on, still in the bench coach role, because I don't want that job.
Yeah, you know, it definitely is a, you know, an interesting, I don't know, quandary, however you want to look at it. I mean, you know, do you coach LeBron, or does LeBron just bring you in because he thinks he can control you?
Exactly. And, I mean, like you said, he's going to go down as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, NBA basketball players of his generation, maybe of the league, whatever. But at the same token, he's left a track record of turning his back. So for all the great stuff he does do, you know, opening up the school and all the off-court stuff like he did in Cleveland and doing all that, when it comes to teams, the ownerships, and the players, I wouldn't trust them.
Tyronn Lue, right?
Yeah. Well, ask Pat Riley. You know, ask Shabazz Napier. You know, so I don't think, you know, Dwayne Wade had an issue with it. He got his three rings. You know, he understood how the game played, and he got to play with him again in Cleveland. Just a shame he didn't get to stick with the team and get the other ring for the hell of it. But a few weeks back, which we haven't done in a while, speaking of basketball, Big Jack, you wanted me to, we're starting a new segment, you know, kind of going into movie reviews. We're trying to stick with sports movies. You know, maybe in the next couple of weeks I might do some Christmas movies just because of the holiday, and I don't care what anyone says. Die Hard's still a Christmas movie to me.
No,
I watch it every year during Christmas season. Part one and two. but last weekend or the weekend before or whatever, Like I said, speaking of basketball, I picked up on a 20-year-old movie, Big Jack. I didn't realize it was that old when I turned it on. But, you know, good old Netflix has the, you know, the date, the year that it was made right there. And I decided to go with Basketball. And it starts off, obviously this is a comedy for those who haven't watched it. If you have little ones and you don't like to hear them, you know, swear and stuff like that, maybe you keep this one away from them. I don't remember if there was nudity or anything in it, but, you know, some innuendos, definitely. So it was started off, you know, we're talking about the evolution of the game and all this good stuff. And basically, it honestly reflected today, Big Jack, the way they start off with it. And they talk about how the game went from professionalism to the over-celebration. Is that even a word? Did I make that up? Of how sports have come with the contracts, the celebrating in the NFL, and all this other stuff. So it's kind of a pretty cool opening montage of how the games have evolved since from the 70s to 1998. But you can see the reflection of the way sports is today. So we get into I forgot the guy's names. I don't know if you remember, but two guys, you know, they graduated high school. They get to a party for the 10-year reunion or something, maybe 20-year. And they're pretty much complete jokes. So they get into a little scuffle with some guys, and they challenge them to a game of basketball. And they wanted to play horse, but they ended up switching the rules around. Yeah, you know, it was basically mixing basketball and baseball. And, you know, if you made a shot from here, it was first base. And I never really understood the whole rules of the movie, but the way the comedy was set up, you really didn't need to understand any of it. You just kind of flowed with the movie. And then, you know, we go into somehow it magically turns into a pretty big sport. You know, some rich Texas, I'm sure, oil owner takes a hold of the team and the league, and it just kind of spouts out, and it's on ESPN. Sorry for the loud noise. And they become big stars. And the movie goes on, and, you know, the main character finds the girl that he loves and wants to be with, but, you know, his best friend kind of weasels his way in there, and, you know, the owner dies of the team, so the team's up for auction, but he gets the team and all this other stuff, and, you know, it's the ghost story. They have the kid who's dying that they make a wish for, and I'm going through this really fast because at the end of the day, Big Jack, I absolutely hated this movie. I know you see differently on it, but, and, you know, the only thing I really remember about it was the main character in the end, you know, his favorite thing about baseball was Reggie Jackson, and he allegedly was there for Reggie Jackson's 3-home-run game, and he caught the third ball. And at the end of the game, you know, the main character, he wins the World Series of Baseball or whatever they called it. Reggie Jackson comes up to him and shakes his hand, and they're talking about the how Reggie's got all of his home run balls except for that one, and it's pretty funny. So I'm wondering if you should watch it just to get it out of the way one time. It's on Netflix. But Big Jack, is this one did you like the movie because Reggie Jackson was in it?
Well, not only Reggie Jackson, but, you know, Dale Earnhardt, the original Dale Earnhardt, the old man, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So, you know, and there is that, you know, one of the real humorous scenes is when they go to the broadcast booth, and there's got to be, 20 announcers, 20 announce pairs working together. I always think that's kind of humorous when they did that, but, yeah, the main guys, it's Joe Cooper and Doug Reamer, who are portrayed by Trey Parker and Matt Stone from South Park. They're the two main characters and the guys behind this movie. So, yeah, you know, obviously I enjoyed it more than you did. It is rated R. So, you know, like you said, if you got the kids or whatever, just be aware that it definitely is an R-rated movie. So... and there are a lot of sexual innuendo in it.
I mean, they had Jenny McCarthy in it, and she Those scenes are pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then they had the Make-A-Wish kid, and he died, but they brought him back to life, and they killed him. And, you know, his one wish was to hang out with the guys, and they took him to a bar and got him trapped. And, you know, it was it's pretty ridiculous. I didn't realize it was the South Park guys who made it and who started it.
Yeah. So, yeah, the two South Park guys and, you know, the third guy in their trio, you know, they have a wonderful little nickname for, you know. So.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty comedic.
But, yeah, it is, you know, obviously sports movie-wise, it's nothing spectacular. I mean, it does make some interesting statements, like you said, on, you know, because one of the big things, I know one of the major rules in the game of basketball is you can't be traded.
Yeah.
So, you know, once you're on a team, you're on a team. And that's one of their complaints early in the movie is, you know, guys, you know, switching teams. And obviously, I don't think you need a spoiler alert for a movie that was made in 1998. So, but yeah, it is, you know, it is kind of interesting that way. But yeah, I mean, it's not a great movie. I got some good laughs out of it, and that's what I like. But it's not, you know, it's not that kind of movie where I'll sit down and watch for a third, fourth, fifth time if it's on. You know, I won't seek it out like I will some movies. So, but yeah, it, you know, the running time here says it's an hour and 43 minutes. So it, yeah, you know, it's a little longer than normal, but, you know, you mentioned Jenny McCarthy. Yasmine Bleeth is in. I believe there's one more Playboy playmate. I want to say it's Victoria Silvstedt who makes an appearance. So those are some attractive women who pop up in the movie. So, but this doesn't get your recommendation?
No. By far, no. I mean, if it wasn't for this, wasn't for you, if it wasn't for this segment, I would have shut it off. I would have turned it off.
Well, hopefully we'll Feel free to hunt me on Facebook page. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.